I gave you plenty of time. I was going to go grab my hanky in that minute, but I realized that I had to turn there a little bit earlier. So anyway, Isaiah 59, 21 says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth. The Lord is connecting two things here in this prophetic verse. First thing is he is connecting his spirit with the words that he puts in our mouth. And then he said that when his spirit is connected with the words that are in our mouth, it shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. Catch that, mommy and daddy. Your children, if you get this connection between the Spirit of God and the words that are proceeding from your mouth, then it won't depart from your mouth. And because of the words that come out of your mouth, your children will receive this, and they also will begin to perceive the same kind of words that came out of your mouth, and therefore it will never depart out of their mouth. Saith the Lord. Not me. Not even Isaiah, although he penned the words. These are the Lord's words. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Amen. I want to preach for however long the Lord will help me this morning. I know that we're late getting started, and that's okay. I'm not concerned. If anything, it gives the Sunday school more time to prepare for the Christmas program. But I don't want to belabor your time, and I don't want to go under what the Lord would like to do today. It's a fine line. It requires good balance. And I hope the Lord will help me strike that balance this morning. But I want to preach on this subject, out of the mouth. Out of the mouth. Amen. Let's lay down our Bibles and let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Amen. Can you open your mouth and lift up your voices and ask the Lord for his help in this service? His presence is here. Hallelujah. If anything, just give him thanks for that. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Master. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing in honor of the word of the Lord. Thank you for your worship this morning. I know that it's hot. And, it's toasty. I feel like we're in a toaster oven. This morning, I walked in the sanctuary, 60 degrees, and and I know the ladies would not have put up with that. So I went on this side, and the registers were blowing out, and it was blowing out cold air, and we just had this is the brand new side, and had the HVAC guy come out and look at it just this past week, and I called, her dad and I were on the phone, and he said, I don't know what's going on. So anyway, turned on this other side, and it kicked on after 10 or so minutes, and then I went downstairs and turned it on. Then Dad got here and did something. He jiggered the wires, and it's working now, if you can't tell. Also, it's kind of hard to predict how you should set the temperature in a Pentecostal service, especially on a Sunday morning, because who knows what's going to happen, especially when Brother Nelson's leading. I'm just giving him a hard time this morning, And I think it's okay. It's okay in the house of the Lord to have a good time. I don't want you to feel like there is so much pressure, because here's one thing that I want to hopefully get. One of my objectives out of this service is something out of the abundance of your heart comes out and is not emotionally driven by some formula that I've said or some psychological maneuver or anything of that nature, but my objective here is to help you see a pattern throughout the scripture, and ultimately this pattern becomes our very salvation. And I hope I'm not speaking in parables here. I just I'm trying to lay a little bit of groundwork. How many of you know somebody who never knows when to shut up? If you don't know somebody, you might want to look in the mirror, because you might be the one. Have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? I am joking. Just because you don't know anybody like that. I know somebody like that. In fact, I probably am them. There's a lady, I'm getting way too sidetracked here, but there's a lady that called into the dispatch 911, and she was trying to report a drunk driver. And the officer, she was trying to talk and explain where this drunk driver was located. And going down South Bend Road, going north on South Bend, just going the opposite direction where they ought to be going. And so the officers were not, the dispatcher was not getting the details quite right, because what turned out was, can you describe the color of the car? Well, no, I can't describe the color of the car. Can you, is it a male or a female? It's a female. And the conversation goes on and goes on. And then the dispatch was wanting for more information. The lady could not provide that information. And then finally, at the near the end of the call, the lady says, and this is something, a recording that I heard. Near the end of the call, she said, the dispatcher said, can you give me any more information about this person? And she says, I am them. I am them. So maybe you am them. But bad joke. You know, comedy is divine. I got a whole book on it. You can read it. But anyway, all right, I need to get into this message here. Somebody tell me to preach. I'm just kidding. All right, thank you. Thank you. That tricked me, got me going again. The Bible teaches us whether or not you're the one that speaks too much or not, whether you're the one that tries to conclude the conversation time and time again and whatever, the Bible tells us that there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7 says, a time to rend. I'm not going to read all this passage, but you can read it for yourself in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, very common passage of Scripture. But it says there's a time to rend and a time to sow. And then in the final couple of phrases of this verse, the wise man said that there is a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. And we need to learn to keep that balance. I was talking to a friend, and I made the observation. I think part of maturing is learning when not to speak, when to listen. And I'm still learning that lesson. I've got an opinion about everything. Give me just a second here. Yeah. I want to make a very practical application from this illustration. I think every one of us have a connection with. You got somebody that knows how to talk and talk and talk, and then you got some of those folks that, you know, somebody that never knows what to say. They're always silent. They're always quiet. But the wise man tells us that there's a time. In the beginning of this passage, he said there's a time for everything. But when it comes to speaking, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And I want to try, with the help of the Holy Ghost this morning, to help you understand specifically. We're going to go through some other examples here in just a minute, but specifically, when you come to the house of the Lord, the times to keep silence and the times to speak. I want to make clear to this congregation and to myself and perhaps even the Sunday school teachers that are not listening right now, but they will listen in the future, that there is a time for the people of God to open up their mouth and to speak when they come to the house of God. Sometimes it comes in the form of a prayer when we're in pre-service prayer. That is time to speak. Sometimes it comes during the worship service, as we just experienced. And I appreciate every one of you that exercised your speaking ability during that time. Amen. Because song is a form of speech. And as we worship the Lord with the voices that he's given to us, I want you to know that God places a high value on what comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is a very revealing thing. If things of positivity, if you're an optimistic character, then what you have to say most of the time is positivity. But if you're pessimistic by nature, if in your heart of hearts that you just believe that everything is going down and there's no hope for anything, then friend, the longer that you talk to that person, the more you're going to realize how much of a pessimist they are. It's a revealing thing. It's a revealing thing that comes out of the heart. Amen. Bear with me. Amen, church. This is a message that I have preached before, but I could not get away from it. In fact, I'm just going to be transparent. I was up until 2:30 this morning trying to lay out how exactly what God wants me to say this morning, because I have a tremendous burden for this service. I'm not talking about service tonight. I'm talking about this service. Before we leave this house, I believe that God wants to do something different, maybe something that's out of our own personal character, but he wants to help us to learn that perfect moment to open up our mouth and to give him glory and to give him honor. Amen, friend. Amen. Just suffice this common point to know, to be this, that there is a time to speak. There is a time for everyone under the sound of my voice. Hallelujah, to speak. Now, I'm going to get to this in just a little bit, but before, I want to make this point quickly that maybe some of you come from a different church background, and you some of you may have a Baptist background, or some of you may have a Catholic background. Some of you may have a different type of background altogether, and those various dynamics, those various scenarios contribute to what you expect when you come to the house of God. Amen. But I want to help you see it from an apostolic, from a biblical Christian apostolic perspective, what it is and what time, amen, to keep silence and what time to speak. Hallelujah. You going to help me this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Why? I don't want to be too distracting and I don't want to get lost in the weeds on some of these points. I do think it's important for you to understand the principles that are laid out in Scripture. So I'm going to take a little bit of time and lay that out. But hopefully I don't lose you. I want to get together at the end of this message and everybody that is under the sound of my voice, amen, to come to the realization that yes, my voice matters. Yes, what I have to say in the house of the Lord, amen, matters. Hallelujah. Bible tells us that we ought to be very careful about the things that when it is time to speak, we ought to be careful about the things that proceed from our mouth. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I want you to realize that there is no singular language created or concocted by man that has not been corrupted. Every language, English, Spanish, that's the extent of my knowledge here. Just kidding. There are, obviously, I think there's some hundred and, there's way more than that. I got to look it up, Google it, ChatGPT it. There's a bunch of languages, but not a single one of them are perfectly pure. Every single one of them have become corrupt. Every single one of them have been perverted. Every single one of them have been distorted by the corruption that's in the hearts of mankind. They are looking for something to express what's going on inside of them. They're looking for words to articulate how they feel. And because men, amen, have evil hearts, the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And so because humanity has this wickedness embedded within our heart, amen, there's not a singular language on planet Earth that's been created by man that has not yet been corrupted. You can go back and read some of the historical poetry and some of the poetry in times of old, and no matter how beautiful the language, no matter how artistic and how creative the imaginations are of those poets, Those same words can be twisted and used, amen, to stab someone in the back, to lie about somebody, to curse somebody. And the apostle to the church at Ephesus, and therefore to us today in 2025, is telling us that if we are proclaiming words, if we're going to say anything, it ought not to be corrupt. While the words are available to us, we ought to ensure that the communication that proceeds from our mouth is not corrupt. The Bible clearly tells us that what comes out of our mouth is ultimately what defiles us. Matthew 15:11, now that which goeth into the mouth, defileth a man, but that which cometh out of a mouth, this defileth a man. Not that which goeth into the... Sorry, I misread that first part. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that this defileth the man. So why is it that those things that come out of our mouth defiles a man? I believe the Lord explains to us just a few verses later in that same passage. He said in Matthew 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Things that come out of our mouth, you might think it comes from your mind. You might think it comes from the latest book that you read. That's not what Jesus is teaching in this passage. He said that all of the things that you've consumed, whether video, whether books, whether listening to podcasts, whether listening to preaching, whatever the source of consumption, it gets digested in your spirit and then deposited into your heart. And the things that are in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. That's why it's so revealing. You don't have to spend very long with somebody to kind of get an idea of what kind of person they are. Just listen to them talk for just a few moments. You know that as well as I do. When Jesus was talking to the religious people of his day, this is not just for those that are in the world. I'm talking to Pentecostals, One God Apostolic Pentecostals this morning, and this is true for us as well. Matthew 12:33 says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You know that in the last day, I had this in my notes a little bit later too, but I'm going to make this point here. In the last day, we're going to be judged by our words. And if in this life we have not taken time to proclaim what we were singing about a few moments ago, that he is good, if we haven't in our lifetime used our words to praise him, to proclaim those things to him, about him, then at the end of time, we're not going to have any option. The Bible tells us that every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Every tongue. Every mouth is going to state that he is Lord. And so whether you choose to do it now or choose to do it later, there is going to come a time where your mouth will ultimately reveal what is ultimately true. And that is that he is Lord. And so I would just like to ask you, even in this service today, why don't you choose this service to begin to proclaim the truth that he is Lord. That he is God of all. That my life is submitted to him. Because it is, whether you want to admit it or not, that he's still good, even on the bad days, even on the good days. He's the same yesterday, today. Hallelujah. Your words are what are going to justify you. Amen. My question is, when are you going to be justified? Either now or in the future. Amen. My quest, my desire, my objective is to help somebody reach justification by the confession of your mouth in this service. Oh, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord some praise right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. I've already said it once, but I'm going to repeat this. God places a high premium on what comes out of your mouth. God places a high value on what comes out of your mouth. Amen. He already knows what's in our hearts, Sister Clarissa. He already knows the things that are embedded deep in our hearts. Amen. Dad, it doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. Want you to understand, amen, that what's in the heart is what really counts. I preached a message when I was younger, and the subject was, it's a matter of the heart. Everything, when it comes to the things of God, the kingdom of God, everything is about what's going on in the heart. Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. All of your heart. All of your heart. All of your heart. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does your heart love him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can get by for a little while with what's coming out of the mouth, and you can deceive some, amen, for a little while, amen, but ultimately, even that is revealing what's going on in the heart. That's a deceiver. That's a confused soul. That's somebody, amen, that doesn't quite know what truth is. He hasn't truly come. Are you listening to me this morning? Amen. I'm trying to help somebody realize that what comes out of your heart, your mouth, is ultimately what comes out of your heart. Hallelujah. We read about a prophet in the Bible. Amen. Jeremiah. Amen. Describing what it's like when the Lord puts a word in his heart. And he was speaking in one story to a group of false prophets. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 16 says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken." This is the Lord speaking to these false prophets. "Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain." Why? "They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." They're revealing what's going on in their heart. They've got a desire. They've got ambition. They've got goals. They've got a future that is not aligning with what God has on his heart. They speak a vision of their own heart. So I said all of this to just kind of help you see through scripture, and I'm not going to dwell here much longer, but I just want you to understand that it is ultimately what comes out of your mouth is ultimately what is stored inside of your heart. Where you spend your time, what you value, what you invest in, those are the things that ultimately produce your words. And the wise man also tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You can see the great emphasis that Scripture constantly places on the words that are coming out of your mouth. You got to be careful. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Amen. You say, "Preacher, it's hard. It's hard to restrict. It's hard to control." I'm with you. I'm right there. I'm going to help you with that before we're said and done. Amen. But let me just emphasize one more time that death and life, your future hangs in the balance based on the words that proceed out of your mouth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're always speaking negative about yourself, I'm not trying to get in any new age hype, mumbo jumbo nonsense, but I'm taking a Bible verse and reading it to you and trying to help you see something that I believe somebody needs to receive this morning. And that is, if you, amen, are always talking down about yourself, or you look in the mirror and say, "That's good for nothing, nobody," then friend, that's going to produce death in your life.
Amen. But if you read the word of God and realize that I'm an apple of his eye, I'm the child of the king, I'm the one that's born again by the graces and goodness of God. Hallelujah. The enemy doesn't want us to see that because he's afraid that it'll get down, Brother Jaheim, it'll get down into our heart and we're going to be convinced of the truth. Hallelujah. And if Brother McCauley, if we get convinced of the truth, there's nothing that's going to stop you from telling your children about what you believe to be true. In fact, what kind of father would you be if you knew it to be true and you wouldn't tell them? Hallelujah. Death and life. Death and life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I want to tell a mama this morning. I want to tell a daddy this morning. You have a responsibility, amen, to commit the truth from your heart to your children's heart. What comes out of your mouth, Sister Pam, really, really, really matters. Oh, I'm preaching this morning. I want to help somebody. I want you to see the value. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. I want you to receive a revelation. Amen. This morning, before you leave this place, that if you can just change, amen, what's going on in your mouth, amen, what that requires a lot of work. That requires a lot of commitment. That requires a lot of change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I've met and probably am them again, referring to that previous story, but I've met folks they're always kicking themselves later. Man, I wish I hadn't said it that way. I wish I hadn't done it that way. I am them. I deal with that. Especially going into a future that I've got laid out for me now, the words that I say, Brother Nelson, I've got to be very careful. There's a great responsibility with the words that come out of my mouth. But not just for me, Brother Hall, but for you too. Sister Haley, you want God to use you. You got to start forming the words that are coming out of your heart, your mouth, from the heart. Seek a time with him. Put what's true. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 51, thou desires truth on the inward parts. And he says, once I get truth, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Once I get that revelation on the inward part, then I will teach transgressors thy ways. Then I will show. But until I get the truth in my heart, I can't speak the right things. Hallelujah. See how much it matters what comes out of your mouth? Hallelujah. God places a high value on what comes from your mouth. Why? Why does God place so much? I'm trying to hurry. Why does God put so much emphasis on this throughout Scripture? James chapter 3, verse 2 tells us, for in many things we offend all. If any man, listen to this. This is quite the statement by the apostle. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. You know what that tells me? That tells me that there's not a person in here that hasn't ever said something that's been offensive. If any man offend not in word, that man is a perfect man. And he goes on to say, and is able also to bridle the whole body. James lays out a pattern here that what comes out of the mouth controls the trajectory of one's life. James 3, verse 3 goes on to say, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body with just a little piece of metal. Behold also the ships which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm.
the rudder, the tail of the ship directs the entire mass. Whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Some harsh language coming from Apostle James. Strong points here. This little member, this little member of our body controls everything about us. He goes on to say in verse 7 that every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Circuses and workhorses and oxen and cows and all have been tamed for the service of mankind. But verse 8 goes on to say, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. If you can do it, you're a perfect man. If you can do it, you're better than everybody else. But I think what the apostle is trying to convey is that this is a really difficult task for us to do. You can't do it on your own. It can't be tamed by man. You can't control. How many times have you tried? Yeah, me too. Brother Larson said, I've lost count. I have too. In fact, I don't know that I ever started. The things that come out of my mouth is set on fire from hell. Can be. An unruly evil full of deadly poison. But the Lord gives us a solution. This is not the grim and grave image that old Apostle James, maybe he was a pessimist. I don't know. I think he was preaching a good message. I think he was trying to convey a very good point that we all need to take very seriously. But the Lord does not leave us without any hope. James 3 and 9, he goes on to say, therewith, that tongue, bless we God. The same that commits so much evil, that is unruly, that is untamed. We use that same little member to bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. I think it's light to make commentary about the downfalls of some brother or sister. Just remember that they are made after the similitude of God. They are made in the image of God. What you say about even your brother or sister or those that are in the world, at your job, that affects how you perceive them. It's more than that. It's a revelation of how you perceive them to others who are listening. Amen. But if we were to read on into verse 10, the Bible tells us in James chapter 3, amen, that it should not be this way. We should not use the same tongue to bless God and to curse men.
We should not use this same tongue, amen, in one breath, amen, proclaiming goodness and kindness and positivity, and in the next breath, amen, declaring destruction and hatefulness and tearing things down. Hallelujah. What comes out of your mouth matters. Amen. It's revealing a division within the heart. It's revealing, amen, a split. Amen. Two sides of the same being. Amen. But what James is trying to say is not an impossible thing. That if you will take that heart and give it to God, amen, you can speak the same thing at all times. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Tori, I'm getting ready, amen, to close. I've spent probably too long on this. Amen, so you can come up here and start tinkling around on the keyboard and make it sound pretty. Make what I'm saying sound profound. Make it sound good. I'm doing a terrible job. What comes out of your mouth? Okay, so I think I made that point. I think that horse is graveyard dead. Somebody said, yes, sir. All right, we'll move on to the next point. Acts 2 and 4, I want you to notice what happened with their mouths. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This thing that you've been contending with your whole life, amen, the unruly member full of poison and evil and hatefulness and destruction, if you yield it to the Holy Ghost, amen, he will use your tongue, he will use your voice and give you an utterance, amen, that is so pure and so holy. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, I remember the day, amen, the time, amen, I was 5 years old. I was at a youth camp, and I had told my friends, I want the Holy Ghost. I've been praying at home for the Holy Ghost. I've been seeking the face of God for the Holy Ghost. Amen, and I wanted it, I wanted it, I wanted it. It was in my heart. There was something inside of me. Amen. I'm sure that if I were to ask any one of you, amen, that have already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, you could resonate with what I'm saying. Amen. There was something on the inside, whether it originated with you or it was something that God put in there. Regardless, it was there. It was true. It was revealing. Amen. When you got into that moment, hallelujah, I've watched, hallelujah, I've sought, I've prayed, amen, for those of you who have sought the Holy Ghost, who have been looking, and let me just tell you, amen, you don't have to beat yourself up, you don't have to look down on yourself, you don't have to be disgusted with yourself because you haven't received it yet. Why? Because what's going on in the heart is transformative. It takes time, amen, but I believe God wants today to give you an utterance that you have been seeking. Oh, hallelujah. Church, are you going to help me this morning? This is where it really, really matters. Amen. I thank God for his word. Thank God for the truth. Amen. But there's getting ready to be a transition here in this service. And I'm going to have to offload this burden onto some of you. And I'm going to ask you, what's in your heart? Amen. What's in your heart is about to be revealed. Are you willing to open your mouth and pray? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I could take you through the scriptures. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 tells us, then Peter, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Brother Nelson, since the beginning of this service, Holy Ghost has been just hovering. Anybody feel what I'm talking about? Holy Ghost has just been hovering. Hey, Jared, get to the point. I got something to do. I got to do something. I came this morning. I want to help somebody who's got a pure heart, who's got a hunger in their soul, who's got a desire. Hallelujah. I want to reveal what's in the heart. I want to make something come out of their mouth. Amen. That is true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Do you believe? Do you believe? You believe this is true? Hallelujah. Then friend, that's all you need. Amen. If you believe, then friend, you're going to respond. If you believe, if you know this is true, amen, then you're going to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, amen, that remission of sins should be preached in his name. That repentance should be preached. That baptism in the name of Jesus, which is the remission of sins, should be preached. And that a promise, oh, a promise, your promise, my promise. Woo. You know, for the apostles, it took them, some people estimate, 10 days from the time that Jesus made this promise in the city of Jerusalem. He said, go ye and dwell in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. 10 days later, it wasn't immediate even for the apostles. They had to get all the stuff out. All of the corruption. All of the envying, all the malice, all of the intimidation, all of the fear. You know what I felt last night in prayer? Nelson, on that second song, do we have the lyrics to that? Let me pull it up here. Brother Josh, do you mind throwing up that second song? There's no reason for worry and fear. Breakthrough is coming. Your freedom is near. It soon will be over. It won't be too long. For the Lord God is with you and he has it all. I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me last night. I don't say that lightly. I personally was struggling with a spirit of fear while I was praying and preparing for the service. It's been a while. I've had this struggle for a number of years. I don't know if the preacher said the other day it was an insecurity, so maybe it's an insecurity. I don't know. I felt like I'd gotten over it. I was praying last night in my office downstairs, and I was by myself, and I had to text my wife. Can you please pray for me because I'm struggling. I'm struggling. And then I felt like I needed to tell her what I was struggling with. So I told her, I said, I'm struggling with fear in another message. I'm not exaggerating. Just a few moments later, that a peace that I could not describe to you came into that office. And I texted her. I said, did you just start praying? Because I'm not kidding. As soon as you started praying, it was like somebody flipped a switch. And I started weeping. I started crying. I don't know. Why the Lord put me through that. Except to say this, at the end of that, here's where I felt like the Lord spoke to me. I was praying, thanking God for the peace. And then I said, Lord, why did I deal with that again? What is going on here? And I am not trying to make this sound super spiritual. I'm just telling you what I felt. It could have just been the pizza I was eating. I don't know. But the thought came into my mind very strongly, very forcefully, and the times that that's happened before, I know that has been the Lord. It wasn't something that conjured up, which was as slow as I'm a thinker. That's usually how my thoughts come. But it was immediate. And the thought that came to me was that there's somebody else in the church that is struggling with the same spirit. And I wanted to remind you how it feels. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost this morning, church, and I'm speaking to somebody specifically. Whatever has gripped your heart with fear, I want you to know that that is not of God. And that is part of what you need to lay down this morning. When you come to this altar, you say, I want the Holy Ghost. I want to seek. I want that, what the preacher's talking about this morning. I'm asking you, put that fear down. Put it down. And I believe God is going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've gone out on a limb here. But I believe the Lord has orchestrated this service. All of the things, the enemy would like nothing more than for you to walk away with that same grip of fear and intimidation and confusion and lack of peace. Bible says in verse 46 of Acts chapter 10, thank you, Brother Josh, for putting that on the wall. 46 says that, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Verse 45 says that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was what came out of their mouth that declared that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I am not saying this morning that you ought to seek speaking in tongues. That's a confusing thing that a lot of people get whenever they come into a Pentecostal church, an apostolic church. They look on and they think, oh, what I need to do is just learn how to speak in tongues. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. What I'm preaching is that what comes out of your mouth is sourced from what comes out of your heart. So what is required then for you to speak in another tongue, for you to receive the utterance from the Spirit, then you must receive the Spirit within your heart. It's not hard. It just takes earnest seeking, desire. If we could all stand together. The nominal world confuses Romans chapter 14, verse 11. It says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. I have read the wrong verse. Let me find it. Well, I don't have it, but I'll just quote it. But a lot of denominational churches take a scripture out of the book of Romans and say, and the Bible tells us that confession is made unto salvation. What is the apostle saying in that verse? The apostle, I believe, is saying is that the believer is confessing what's inside of the heart. And the only way that you can speak in that heavenly language that has never been corrupted is if his Spirit is within your heart. It matters what comes out of your mouth. It really does. It really does. It's not just a gift for the super spiritual. Confession, the Bible teaches, is made unto salvation. I would like to open up these altars this morning. I don't want you to come thinking that I'm not enough, I'm not worthy. Because what happens with those thoughts is they graduate into words. And you tear yourself down. Tear yourself down in your mind before you ever tear yourself down in your heart. Tear yourself down in your heart before you ever tear yourself down with your mouth. Come into these altars with faith, believing that this message is for you. Because I'm here to tell you that it is for you. In church, I'm going to ask you with as much
humility, as much deference as I can, without implying that you ought to be something other than you are. I'm asking you, please help lift your voice. Demonstrate what a pure heart looks like. There's such a beautiful touch of God's presence here. This is now the time. This is the time for you to open up your mouth and say, Lord, I don't want to try to make it another day without your Spirit. I don't want to try to go another moment. It is time. These altars are open. It's time for you to come and tell him what's in your heart. Come put your fear down. Come put the intimidation down. Come put the doubt down. Come put the confusion down and just open up your mouth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, church, help us pray this morning.